Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is actually Griggs. This is our season
Whoop, whoop.
finale of our preseason coverage. Does
Yeah,
that make
it's the
sense?
preseason season finale. This is incredible. And I think this completes everything we have up there. We got interviews, we've got podcasts, we've got media day recaps.
That's
Eventually,
the season preview tab, by the way.
we got a month's worth of work that in a week no one will give a crap about because we'll be playing real games and we'll be discussing what's actually happened, not our own suppositions.
I'm your host, Chad Short, by the way. That's David Griggs over there. Got John Tytel up here with me. Below me, we got Mike Chott. His side's David Dorman and Joby Fortson. We thought John Sleek would be with us tonight. Hope he's okay. Hopefully he'll be coming along in a few minutes because he's the one that was in charge of what we're doing tonight, actually. So
Hoops HD, it may be the preseason, but we are in mid-season form. The man that built the bracket is not on the show. He's late. And we're starting without him.
we are. This is hopefully if the screen share worked, we should all be looking at a blank bracket right now. We've used these in the past for our Bracketology podcast for those who were with us in prior years. But what we did was Mr. Stalika using a mathematical formula involving several preseason media polls and brackets came up with a 1 through 68 seed list. If he was here, he could explain the nuances behind it. But basically, this is the consensus of what the national media thinks the seed list should be heading into the season. And we're going to reveal it and tell you all why this is all completely wrong. And I guarantee you, by the end of the season, this will all be completely wrong.
It will be.
Guaranteed.
It's fun to go back in March and look at this show back in October every year. It really is because it is, oh my God, is it wrong? I to our future selves watching this in March, we're all laughing right now seeing how wrong this was. So
And what I'm gonna do is ask each of you for comments on the teams as we go forward here. I'm gonna reveal the first 16 teams in order, one at a time. These are what we call the protected seeds. These are the teams that would, be favored to make the Sweet 16 at least. But should we get right on into it? Oh, wait, let's get a little drum roll here. Number one overall, Mr. Tytel, you're clapping. It's the Kansas Jayhawks. Is that right heading into season? Do you agree that Kansas is looks like it's going to be the best team in the nation?
No, only because Hunter Dickinson has been hurt in the preseason, which is why they lost last week. So too early to tell, but I agree that they're probably one of the best, and in the end of the year they'll probably be in Wichita, but it's only October, chat.
Yeah, but we do see these the regions populated here. They are in the Midwest region, which will be played in Indianapolis, Wichita for the first round sites. Very favorable for Kansas here. Dorman, let me ask you here. Number two, Alabama, the Tide coming in here. Do you think maybe they should be number one even?
I'm with Stalik. I probably would have put Kansas one as well, but I had Alabama too. That's how I would have put it. I think the Tide are absolutely loaded this year, and well deserving of the second overall seed.
Final four team last year, you might recall, and a lot of that team back, really strong program Nate Notes has. Surprisingly enough, we'll get to this in a second. I think that these are certainly protected seed caliber teams. I wouldn't have picked either one of them to even win their conference, though.
You wouldn't have.
So.
Joby, do you think Alabama is one of the top two or three teams of the nation?
Yeah, I at this point, sure. Because I mean, we're kind of guessing, but it's a reasonable guess. Oates is now fully integrated his system, his players. He's done it for a couple of years now, but it's turned into this is just what we see every year. And I think you're going to see preseason polls and preseason projections consistently hold them in the top 10.
Number three, Mike, let me bring you in. Our defending national champions from UConn. Do you think this might be a little bit of a you are a two-time defending champion, so we boost you up a little better than your roster is? Or do you think this team really is this good?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you're defending champions, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt. And they're the two-time defending champions. You're definitely going to get the benefit of the doubt. It is a little high, but then it's only October. You got to still play the games. But for now, you know, they're being the two-time defending champions. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. So three is about right.
Yeah, Zach Singer will see this show and eventually, and I want him to hear me say this. Too many people are overvaluing, they're putting too much emphasis on what UConn has done in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years and ignoring everything else. I think this team is way overseeded. You know, maybe inside the bubble, sure, but come on.
Come on, Griggs. Real quick note here: the East Region being played in Newark this year, at the Rock, and I think that is a new site, or at least it's been a long, long time since Newark has been used as a regional site or even an
Where?
NCAA tournament site.
What's the venue?
The Prudential Center, the Rock.
Yeah.
So yeah,
They used to use the Meadowlands in the 80s and 90s quite
Yeah.
often. Yeah, old Brendan
Okay.
Byrne Arena.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's right. They haven't been in Newark in ages.
And
Is the Prudential
has
Center where the
anyone been
Devils
to New York?
play?
Has anyone been there?
I have actually been.
Yeah.
Stalica, if he
I
was
still
here,
think of
Stalica.
Christian Laettner hitting that game-winning shot against UConn, ironically, in 1990.
That was at the Spectrum.
Yep.
No,
No, no, no, no. That was
the
92.
Laettner. That yeah, 92 was the Spectrum. He did it
Against Kentucky
twice.
in overtime.
Yeah, he did it twice.
Number four overall, and a couple things about this. But first, let's start with the team. It is Houston,
Yes.
and Griggs, do you agree with that? That maybe this was the team you thought was going to win the Big 12 also.
It is. They would be my preseason number one. And let me just start with this. Everybody is starting out at zero. Any preseason ranking, regardless of what it is, whether it's one first, fourth, or 104th, it doesn't matter. Everyone is starting out at zero. But the reason I think they're number one in general, they won 32 games a year ago, and I know that they needed to replace their point guard, but they do have a really strong player to replace Jamal Shedd. Most of the rest of their team is back, but I think what really makes them tough and makes them built to go really far and do really well in the Big 12 is their defense. It's sort of built when you look at some of the nutso venues that you play in, Iowa State, the Octagon, certainly, Kansas. It's some of the toughest road environments in the country. BYU's in there now, but they're so good defensively, they can actually sort of take some home courts out of games, and a lot of people were cautiously optimistic about them last year. It's like, well, they dominated the American, but can they win in the Big 12? I think they showed that they can, and I think they can win it all this year. They're my overall number one team. I think they're that good.
Just a quick note again on regions. Thanks to Tytel, Newark did host a region once before. It was in 2011, but it's been 14 years since they have. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And another quick thing here: San Francisco, the site of the West Region. We got a little confirmation of news here today. The host, each site has a host. It's normally a team. Sometimes it's a conference. The host for the San Francisco games in San Francisco, the West Region, is the Pac-12 Conference this year. We have confirmed with the NCAA that somebody from the Pac-12 will be there to open up the arena. It's not going to be completely locked.
Yeah,
But
David Warlock actually confirming that for us. I don't know who's working in the league office and who's going to be doing that, but somebody is.
somebody's going to be flying down from Corvallis or Pullman.
Pac-12 alive and well.
Alive and well. Let's go on to the second line here. Tytel. Number five overall team, Iowa State, a third Big 12 team already in the top five. That says a lot, I think.
Yes, it says that my Wildcats are not going to be getting anywhere soon because they got this ridiculous conference to deal with. Great pick. Lipsy's back at the point, and I think that Hilton Magic is real. So,
Oh,
yeah, I
yes.
believe in this team.
Yeah, and Dorman at number six overall. Here's our first ACC team, and it's the Dukies.
Very deserving. I think this is Shire. It's year three. I think it's his most talented team, actually. I did think Duke has a legitimate chance to beat these Big 12 and SEC teams. I think they are championship good. Flagler is just amazing. And I think no one really has seen him on the college level yet, so nobody knows really how good he is. But from people that have seen him, he's supposedly out of this world. So I think very deserving, and Duke could win the whole thing.
A question about Duke or a note about them. I don't know how much this matters. Probably not a whole lot. But when you look at the ACC, it's a little bit different than the Big 12. They're not going to be playing protected seed caliber teams half of their schedule in the later half of the year. There's North Carolina, and that's about it. It does not being as battle tested as maybe some of these teams that are coming out of the Big 12 and certainly the Big 12 and the Big 10 going to affect Duke's ability to go really far or not?
Let's ask our ACC guy, Joby.
It could, without a doubt, it could. I mean, but and we've seen Big 12 teams like Baylor make runs, etc. But usually, here's the issue: the ACC is not any worse. You know, it's not significantly better, but it's not any worse than it's been the last few years. And the ACC's done quite well in the tournament, because. I actually think the conference is a little deeper, a little better, even if Virginia probably won't be where they are, you know, traditionally. From my perspective, you say, oh, better in the Big Ten. I haven't seen a Big Ten school
We
yet. Why
have
does the Big Ten
not.
get all
Yeah.
sorts of credit for having protected seeds?
Nor have we seen
Michigan,
a Northeast,
well,
nor have we seen a
Indiana,
Northeast
probably.
Conference
That's
team
it.
yet, by the way.
I
Yeah,
mean,
saying
Big
the
Ten's nothing.
SEC would have made more sense
Big
than saying
Ten,
the Big
well,
Ten.
we'll see a Big Ten ACC challenge. I might put my money on the ACC.
Hey,
I
everybody's
really
tied
would.
at zero. So I don't know.
So,
Oh.
hate to say, but up until last year, the Big Ten did very poorly in the NCAA tournament.
I don't hate to say it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
And they have plenty of big time challenges out of conference before they get to the ACC, Arizona, Kansas, Kentucky. So they'll be tested, I
Yeah,
believe.
they basically are playing the Big 12 schedule out of conference.
Yeah.
Big boys should play big boys.
Let's go to number seven overall. Mike, here's another conference I've seen. How about West Coast Conference, the Zags?
If you go based on the preseason polls, they're ranked sixth or seventh in both polls. So, they're proven. I mean, they're proven year in, year out, and I don't have a problem with them being number seven. They're definitely the team to beat in the West Coast Conference until, you know, someone else proves it otherwise.
Yeah, it seems like Griggs said, we almost say this every year, but this may be Gonzaga's best team ever once again.
It looks like it might be. They were really solid last year. The bulk of the, they're experienced and talented, and those are two things that I know you and I value, not just the talent on their roster, but how much of it is retained from a year ago. You know, most of these teams have reloaded. Gonzaga actually returns the bulk of their contributing players from a year ago. They are really good. And yeah, here we are again. Are they another Final Four team or even a team that can win it all? I think the answer is yes.
Geographically, they have it set up in their favor in Seattle, San
Yeah.
Francisco.
Yeah. Joby, rounding out the two seeds would be hell. How about another Big 12 team, Baylor?
Of course, gosh, Baylor. Baylor is, I think this might be a little high for Baylor, actually, but not outrageous. You know, I mean, they're a protected seed level team, no doubt. But I'm a little bit more of a fan, assuming, as Mr. Tytel correctly pointed out, on Dickinson's health, assuming that's in good shape. I think Kansas and we've discussed this on the Big 12 preview. Kansas, Houston, I think, are a step up from Baylor. And I would agree Iowa State's ahead of them. But Baylor's got the consistency over time. They've once again another program that's developed themselves over time, much like I commented on Alabama. You have to expect them to come and be in that top 16, to be one of these protective seeds at the end of the year.
Starting off the three line, number nine overall, Tytel and Dorman. I'll get both of your picks on this.
Tytel, a three. Oh, Arizona. Okay, I thought you meant John Tytel was
Arizona,
on the
our
team.
fifth Big 12 team in this field already, only nine teams. And there's your Wildcats, fifth in their conference, ninth in the nation.
I'm telling you should make the Big 12 tournament a bucket list item if you've never been. I've never been, and it's going to be Elite Eight. It's going to be like an Elite Eight, as Chad shows. Like half the teams are already in. I like us in Denver in terms of relatively close. I like us against the Zags, as we've had some good history against them in the tournament of success. I don't like us playing Houston, even if it's out west. The Cats are good. They've been scoring a ton in the preseason against Cupcakes, so We'll see if they can do anything for real. But I think this is actually pretty good. I could argue that they should be ahead of Baylor, but they're both in Denver anyway, so I can live with it.
Yeah, well, Dorman, let me ask you also about your Arizona team here. Is there a chance that with so much strength this conference, you could end up further down the seed list just because you pick up so many losses to good teams?
Absolutely. Yes, you can. There's plenty going on the road, and the Big 12 is going to be extremely difficult. Any road victories will be big ones this year. So yeah, like Tytel said, a three seed is very solid because every night is going to be a battle in the Big 12.
Griggs, number 10 overall. Here's our second ACC team. Here's the Tar Heels.
Yep. I like North Carolina this year. They've reloaded with talent, lots of potential. I'm not as coming out of this. I certainly don't think that they're any better than anyone that's been placed ahead of them. But yeah, sure, 10 seems about right. Why not? There's actually some teams I like a little more than them that are probably going to come up soon.
Yeah, Mike, I
But I
got to
still
ask
think that
you.
they're a protected seed. Yeah.
Mike, I got to ask you. You're a Big Ten guy. I've not seen a Big Ten team yet still
Yeah.
roaring into the middle of the three line.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think the Big Ten has good teams, but they're none of them are really elite or not, like you would think Michigan State would be mentioned by now, but you don't so far there's no big you don't see Michigan State or any Big Ten team mentioned. I think they have good teams, but not elite.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's exactly the Big Ten's problem. Lots of good teams, no great teams. Joby, you're on mute. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Chad, I might add, the first team I predict that will be mentioned will be way overrated. I'm just, one of two that will be mentioned. One I think will be correct. The other will
Were they
be.
the national championship game last year?
By chance, they were. And their player who had never fouled out of any game ever got six fouls in what, 8 minutes in his first NBA game. Oh, Joby, I remember what you said. Why, in general, the Big Ten does poorly is because they face the same style. Whereas the ACC, you face all kinds of styles, and that helps you in the tournament. I actually agree, Mike, and not to go back to the question Chad asked me before, I should have mentioned that component, and that's one of the reasons why I think ACC teams are a little outperform their level a little bit come March because they've seen that. I will say this, the Big 12, when you have an Iowa State, throwing in and Houston and then compare that to Kansas, there's that variation of styles too in the Big 12 at a very high level, as we all can see.
Well, we'll see when we see a next ACC team. Now we've got the two big guys out of the way. Let's see when the third one shows up here.
If
Might be
there
a
is a
little
third. If a
wide.
third.
If
If
there
a
is even a
third.
third anywhere in the field,
Yeah.
how about number 11 overall? Let's go
Oh,
back to the
yeah.
SEC, Griggs, with Auburn.
Yeah, and this is the team I really like from the SEC. Alabama is good. I don't want to say that I don't like Alabama, and I know that I'm sort of in the minority here. The consensus has Alabama higher. I personally like Auburn a little bit more. I like their style of play. I think they're extremely talented. I just think they're well coached. They're hard to play against, and they have all the pieces. They have athleticism. They've got a really good NBA probable player in Jahni Broome. This is a team that I think can win the SEC and even go to the Final Four. But again, this isn't Stalika having them at 11 overall. Stalika is going off of what the media and preseason consensus is. So yes, they're 11th, but come March, I think they're going to be a little bit better than that.
Number 12 overall. How about another SEC team, Tytel, the Tennessee Volunteers? This is a team that I might have said all the great things about instead of Auburn, even in this conference.
Yeah, I think it's a coin flip. They're both good. And I think they will give Alabama all they can handle in conference play this year. Vols have a nice schedule. They're playing Virginia in a little place I like to call the Bahamas in November. Hopefully, Joby can make it up for that. I love Zakai Ziegler as the senior veteran leadership point guard guy. And I think that this is right where they're at. I don't know how they'll do with Baylor. That should be an interesting matchup of styles. Tennessee known for their defense, Baylor known for the 3-point shooting. So that could be a fun one.
Absolutely. We have to Dorman. Let's go to the four line. There's that first Big Ten team, the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, there's our first Big Ten team. I don't think they're overrated. I love this backcourt. I think they're experienced. They got a lot of time as freshmen and sophomores. Now they're juniors. They still have big guys coming left and right. They got a huge freshman. The big guy down low, I'm forgetting his name. One went to Duke as a transfer, but the other big guy came off the bench last year, and he's back. And I think Painter does a great job. Big Ten is going to be hard and tough, although I totally agree with Mike. I don't think they have a championship-level team. I think they got a bunch of good teams. So I think the 4-5 area is pretty solid to start, a pretty solid starting place for Purdue. Kaufman Wren, thank you. Kaufman Wren returns. That's the big spot.
Well, Mike, how about another SEC team in here, number 14 overall, Texas A&M? Uncle Buzz's team.
Uncle Buzz!
Well, Mike, you're going up based on the rankings. That's just about right for them. I think A&M's got a very good team, and 14's about right. What I notice here is SEC, you don't see Kentucky mentioned so far. You see Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee. Already the fourth at A&M would be the fourth SEC team, and there's no Kentucky.
There's no Kentucky. Joby, you know, SEC's starting to catch up to the Big 12. 6-4 Big 12 lead still teams in so far.
Yeah, and SEC, that, you know, you're really seeing the strength and well-deserved buzz. Is I actually think A&M could really improve on this. You know, this could be one of those times, but Buzz has been assembling that roster very meticulously. It's not just Virginia Tech transplant types, you know, they have for so long. And, you know, Taylor, some of these guys are just really strong. And you combine his defensive style with an ability to create shots on the offensive end, and A&M can be extremely dangerous.
You're absolutely right, Joby. Uncle Buzz, I don't know how well he will do as we if the transfer portal NIL era continues, because it seems like one of his superpowers at Virginia Tech and even at Marquette before that was developing teams. Not that he didn't have uber talented players, but A&M does, you know, they had a really good year last year and they return a lot of key pieces. So this is the kind of team that if you watch Buzz Williams coach teams is poised for a really big breakout year, the way he has meticulously built and put that roster together. I agree and with you. I think this is a good A&M team.
And Greg, one element that I like from what you were saying also is it was a team that finished strong. Yeah. That was that, like, they, you know, they were kind of floating around, you know, the beginning of end of February. We were questioning them very seriously, and then they came on strong, you know, over and into the tournament. So if they carry that momentum into the regular season, which is what I look at often, they could be something really to look out for, especially in these early tournaments and these early out-of-conference games, where then they establish that resume, they perform well in a very strong conference in the SEC. And then, bam, you're looking at a protected seed, not a that might be above the four line.
Right. No, I think, I think the protected seed is right, the preseason ranking on them.
Watch for Wade Taylor. He is a stud. He could be first-team All-American. He's a guy that can carry your team offensively if he gets hot. I think this team, I agree with you guys, really good.
Yeah, he's exactly what I was talking about on creating their own shots.
Yeah,
let's take a look. You combine that with the Buzz defense, wow. You know, the length,
We got two teams left in this protected seed top 16 teams group here. Tytel, 15 overall. How about our second Big East team here with Creighton?
Love it. Kalkbrenner, I think, has a shot to be a four-time conference defensive player of the year, tying only the legendary Patrick Ewing. I think that their fans will make a nice showing in Cleveland. Not sure about the Alabama matchup. The Tide have looked pretty good in the preseason despite Grant Nelson not playing. So tough call, but McDermott has plenty of experience. So I think this is a right on it.
Yeah, I think this is a real good Creighton team. I think there's one other team for the Big East that we should see soon. But not number 16 overall. How about that fifth SEC team? And it's not Kentucky, but it is Coach Cal. Dorman, how about Arkansas coming in here, number 16 overall?
That's too early for me. I did not have Arkansas in protected seed area. I think in the beginning, everyone is new. All these players coming to Coach Cal in Arkansas are new. They're all played at different places, so I think it'll take a little while to learn Cal's style and figure out the way he wants them to play defense. I don't have them, and because of that, I don't think they're going to win right out of the gate, roll through the SEC. So I didn't have them this high, but the potential will be there.
Yeah, I think this is interesting, but that is our top 16 teams. And what I'm going to start doing now, instead of doing one team at a time, I'm going to go one row at a time. We have some discussion about all four teams. I'm going to start with all four of the five seeds here. They should all populate at the same time if we did things right. And what we've got there is Marquette, that other Big East team I was mentioning. Indiana, here's another Big Ten team. Texas, another SEC team. And Cincinnati, hell, let's throw
They
another Big
suck.
12 team in.
Oh, Salika, welcome.
And Jason Voorhees, aka John Salika, has arrived.
John.
So,
I'm sure he'd
Salika,
love to talk about one of the teams on this line.
let me go right to you, Salika, because you came in here a little late, but you already know what this bracket was going to say anyhow. So what is your thought on this five line we've just revealed here? Marquette, Indiana, Texas, and Cincinnati.
Well, you can thank the voters in both the AP and the coaches poll for where these four teams are going to be, right in the 17 to 20 range right here. Of course, Indiana, one team that's going to be on the bit of the hot seat going into the year, although we usually say that about every 4 or 5 years for the Hoosiers. And Texas, not quite as many superstars as they've had in recent years, so this is why you're not seeing them among our top 16 seeds right here. And lo and behold, the Cincinnati Bearcats. There are going to be heightened expectations in this season for Wes Miller's club.
I got a question, a statement. Like, I do value this panel most more than just about anyone in the national media. I think that you all are the experts, so maybe you can explain what the hell Indiana is doing this high up. What is that? This is a team that failed to make the NIT last year. I know they have players back, but they have players back from a team that failed to make the NIT. Now they're a five seed. Explain.
Blue blood school.
Does anybody think that's correct? I mean, obviously, and I know Stalika used preseason media prognostications to put this together. It's not his pick. It's the so-called media and experts pick. Do you think Indiana is going to be anywhere close to that good?
I think Omar Ballo, the big man from Arizona transfer, will make them a better defensive team right out of the gate. He's a big guy down low. Guys coming in the lane in the Big Ten aren't going to have an easy shot at the layup line or dunks. And offensively, he's got decent touch. When he gets good position, he slams it home. He's a factor. Does that make them put him on the 4 or 5 line? I don't think so. I agree with you, Griggs, but I think they're better this year than they were last year.
Okay. Yeah,
Let me
I'll buy
throw
that.
another. Let me throw
Yeah, I think
another.
I can make the NIT if everything
Let me
falls right.
throw another question about the side also. Joby, let me ask you, Cincinnati on here,
That
what's the
that's the
problem
one. I'm
of
like,
all these
what?
big of all these Big 12 games you got to play? I don't see how they could get this high, but do
Yeah,
you think there's
I
any
mean,
basis for this?
Indiana, I actually can defend Indiana a little bit. I mean, it's an exhibition, so but they did beat Tennessee, and Miles Rice, came in. He came in, scored 20, and that's maybe a precursor of things to come. But Cincinnati
They beat Ohio State.
I'm convinced, is Nick Van Exel returning? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, Cincinnati, I think, has a tough time getting to 500 in their new conference. I mean, and if they were to slip up and lose all their games, to very quality teams on their schedule, they could miss the tournament very easily. Maybe they'll surprise me. I don't think they can run with these dogs in the Big 12. I absolutely do not.
I honestly could see Cincinnati in a 5-12 game, but as the 12 seed, not the 5, after winning a first four game. That's what. But maybe I'm wrong on that. But let's keep rolling on here.
Ask me in mid-December after the Crosstown shootout.
Let's see if we see your Xavier team somewhere here. Let's go to the sixth slide here. Titel, we've got UCLA, Florida, Ole Miss, and there's Kentucky finally.
Arizona, Kentucky, Chad, that's a very good memory from 1997. The Wildcats, excuse me, my Wildcats only NCAA title. So I would love to see the rematch of that. Tennessee, Ole Miss, keeping it in the conference. North Carolina, Florida, that seems like a nice rivalry from 20 years ago when Billy Donovan was there or something. And Mick Cronin against Bruce Pearl. Those are a couple of grizzled vets out in Lexington.
Yeah. Dorman, what do you think? Do you think these four teams are about where they belong preseason?
I thought Kentucky would be a little stronger in a 4-5 area, but I'm really high on this Ole Miss team. I think it's a team not many are speaking about, but I think there's a lot of talent there. I think Ole Miss will be heard from in the SEC before this year is done, and I look for them right around here on a good season.
Yeah, the problem is here we are up to, I believe, 8 SEC teams in already, maybe even 9. With Florida, Ole Miss, and Kentucky all on that line. Remember, we picked up Texas on the last line. They're in the SEC now as well. So, again, Griggs, they could run into the same problems that we were talking about for some of these Big 12 teams. You just got such a tough matchup every single day. How are you gonna get those wins?
Yeah, I know. And the thing about it is that, like, you can't have more than half the teams win every night. Somebody's going to lose every night you play. And when you look at the strength of this conference, I like Kentucky. I think that they're a solid top 25 caliber team. I think they're going to be well positioned, very well inside the bubble. But I don't think they're all that much better than what they've been the last 3 or 4 years, and maybe not even quite as good. I know why the fans were restless. It was so many early exits from the NCAA tournament. But those Kentucky teams prior to the NCAA tournament were better than this. They were a 2 seed, they were a 3 seed, and I think this year's Kentucky team, if they get onto the 6th line, that's pretty good. I'm expecting them to make it more of the 7 or 8, really.
Well, let's take a look here at the 7 line. In fact, Salika, I'll bring you back in here. We got a little bit of Big Ten action here with Rutgers and Illinois, along with St. John's and Texas Tech on this line.
Yeah, we had to double check it, but unfortunately, yes, Rutgers is in the Big Ten here. Of course, we couldn't put Duke in the in their NCAA mandated region in the East because there were, I think, so many Big 12 teams that were in the top lines that we had no choice but to put Duke in the Midwest here.
But they're still in Raleigh, and
yeah, you got them in Raleigh.
You got them in Raleigh.
Yeah, but that only kept us within one rule, though. They're still mandated within the East.
And Chad, your team, I haven't seen many teams that have had such a wonderful offseason in the prognostication as well as on reality of what we're looking at the court. This line has two teams that I actually would personally have much higher. Your team, Chad, being one of them, but Texas Tech also. I really like this Red Raiders team. When you compare Big 12 teams, why is Cincinnati a 5 and Texas Tech a 7? I don't understand that.
Also got the Johnnies thrown in here. Mike, is there anything that for the Johnnies, do they really belong up this high?
Rick Pitino's the head coach. I mean,
no,
I mean, did that help them last year? I mean,
yeah.
Greg, you had a comment on them?
I do think it. Again, he's gone into the portal. He's one of these coaches that does sort of like to reload in from year to year. He's always sort of been that way, and he does have a tendency to get the talent to play up to its ceiling. It's not outrageous. He's a very good coach, but I don't see them doing any better than this, and probably not quite as good.
Quick note from Titel in our chat. I got to repeat this. If Duke and Rutgers did be in the assembly tournament, you could have the top 3 picks of next year's draft all playing in that same game. I don't know. There might be overseas players. I know there's always overseas players that mess up that up from our college game. But Joby, the 8 line, We've got Salika Xavier team along with a couple more Big 12 teams at Kansas State and BYU. I think we have the whole
Amazing.
conference in at
I
this
love
point, and Michigan State.
Well, Michigan State is probably a little overdue to a degree. I've got to think Izzo's going to, do his job, as it were. I will defer to Stalika on Xavier's, to extol there. But I'll personally focus on the two Big 12 teams. BYU was the bane of my existence last year because they had the most bloated, net that we've seen of a particular team. They were a good team, don't get me wrong. They were deserving of the well, they got shafted by a seed spot, because of the Sunday thing. But I worry for BYU and Kansas State for the same reason I worry for Cincinnati, and that is there's so many good Big 12 teams. And there's a difference in the Big 12 this year, too, that we haven't mentioned. The Big 12 at the bottom actually kind of stinks. It usually hasn't. It's been, Kansas State or whoever has been at the bottom, or Iowa State, they're actually good teams. And so with good nets, et cetera, they're Oklahoma State, some other teams, they're going to underperform. And so what that does is, you can't just go in a 20-game season 9-11, because if some of those 11 are against teams outside the top 100, definitely outside the top 75 or 100, you take hits to your resume. Now you get plenty of opportunities to build it up, but it gets a little tough if you start putting on what you can actually take on water. It's not all take and no, or, all take and no give, like the past Big 12s have been.
Yeah, West Virginia is Drake heavy this year, so they'll be a little better. But Colorado just has nothing, which is sad. They won 25, I think, a year ago, and we're in the round of 32. But my God, they just got gutted.
All right, let's quickly go to Sleek on Xavier being here on the eight line. I know he was asked about that, and then we'll move on to the nine.
Well, here's the odd thing. When we did the show last year, we had Xavier in a similar position because of where the voters from the AP and the coaches poll had him. The big difference this year, Xavier's top two players weren't even able to go last year because of injuries and other ailments. That is not the case this year.
They only lost
So
one player this year.
you are missing
They've only lost
one. He's
one so
probably
far.
going to be on the bench, but there are going to be a lot higher expectations this year as opposed to last year, where we were merely hoping they would crash the field at this time.
Yeah, Stalika, have you examined? Is there something in the water? Is there something in the food? Do they just not get all the water off the court? Like, why do Xavier players keep getting hurt before the season starts? It's unprecedented.
We still haven't quite gotten rid of the Travis Steele stench, so it's
Yeah.
going to take a little while.
Just a quick note before I reveal the nine line. We put Duke and North Carolina in this field. I have not seen an ACC team yet since those two. As we move to the nine line and Tytel, we have here. Oh, we do have some ACC finally, both Wake and Clemson coming in, along with a couple of Big Ten teams in Oregon and Ohio State.
I would say that Clemson is a huge mismatch facing Tom Izzo in March, because most people are. But I'm telling you, Coach Brownell really opened my eyes last year. So I don't think you should automatically pencil in Izzo, even though you normally should. I've heard a lot of good things about Wake and Steve Forbes and Hunter Salas this year, so that could be a nice little sleeping giant. Not sold on the Buckeyes. I'll defer to Stalika, but I think that even though the Ducks always get it done in March somehow, I think that Big Frosty, if he's healthy, could really get some work done against the Ducks.
Stalika, I have to ask you, why did you not switch Oregon and Ohio State there so you could have a Xavier Ohio State first round game? I mean, you built this bracket.
He's scared.
You
I think
scared of them?
that was because Oregon probably had a preference in this bracket right here.
Well, so what?
Initially, I would have had him against Michigan State, but there's a little
Stalika, you've been
problem because they're
buzzed.
both in the same
Yeah.
conference
So you
this year.
followed the bracketing rules. It's the preseason, for God's sake.
Well, let me ask you, Mike. Let me ask you. You're a Big Ten guy here, also. How about this Oregon team coming into the conference and this year?
It'll be interesting, because now they're in the Big Ten, no longer in the Pac-12, but I think I remember what Brian says. Like, I think they're just gonna, stink, and you know they're going to struggle in the beginning, and then you know once you get to February and March, they're going to figure things out and peak
But
peak come March.
they're not going to have as many cupcakes as they had in the Pac-12, I don't think. That could be their problem.
Yeah, that's
Norman,
yeah,
you're.
it's factors that you know they do the peaking in March, but that's against the Pac-12 teams. Well, I'm interested to see how they'll handle the Big Ten style.
Yeah, Dorman, you're nodding. I don't think there's as much garbage at the bottom of the Big Ten that there was at the bottom of the Pac-12 in past years.
I'm with you, Chad. Exactly. There aren't guarantee. I don't want to say guarantee win. There aren't eight, nine Pac-12 games at the bottom of the conference where they're going to pick up most of them. That's not happening this year. The other issue I have with Oregon also will come and play with Washington, UCLA, is the travel. I think is going to have to wear on them. It not so much as the other, like the Midwest teams, like Illinois, they're going to go west maybe one time, LA and USC, not that big of a deal. But Oregon and Washington, every other week, they're going either the full way across the country or at least half of it. I think it's going to wear on him. I don't think there's many as many easy games in the Big Ten. I think the style is not theirs. Oregon likes to play open and free and up and down the court. The Big Ten likes to slow it down, play in mud, physical. I don't know if Dane Altman's system is necessarily built for the Big Ten, especially in the beginning, right away.
That's a very good point, David, with the travel. You know, I think that the Midwest and Eastern teams have it easier, but the West Coast teams are going to have it tough because no matter what, they're going to have to travel far.
Except when they play each other.
Right.
Yeah,
That's true.
Joby, the 10 line here. Rutgers versus, oh, here is a new team. Here's the Grand Canyon Antelopes coming in, along with Mississippi State, St. Mary's, and a Mountain West team, Boise State. So this is definitely your line.
Oh, well, obviously Boise State's overrated.
Oh, God.
Like me some Grand Canyon on the 10. Hopefully it happens. Mississippi State, all right, so we got our 15th SEC school in. and at some point that thing, the things that we were talking about, the Big 12 hit, as we said, will hit the SEC. I doubt we're going to see this many teams come in. Mississippi State could be a team that makes it, though. They have got some, they have some pieces that can put it together. St. Mary's, how do you feel? St. Mary's having the conference eventually to yourself, coming down the line. Is this, how will they treat the Gonzaga showdown this year? That's going to be a lot of fun.
Let's go right here. I'm going to reveal half of the 11 line, the teams before the
I like
first
that
rolls.
Grand Canyon team. I do think they'll end up inside the bubble. We talked about
They
that the other
could put
night.
up a gaudy record, and I don't know they're
Oh,
out
I
of
think they will.
conference.
This is a
How's their
30-win.
non-conference schedule, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can get some, I mean, are they playing like an Arizona or someone like that out of conference? Are
They're
they
playing
playing
Arizona State, I know.
Alabama.
That'd
They
be
got
one.
Yeah,
Alabama.
they got Alabama. I don't
Alabama.
think they'll get that one, but they might get all the rest. I think it's going to be very similar to you know what we saw Murray State do a few years ago, to where
Yeah.
they're not going to be a protected seed, but I think they're going
Right.
in on the first
They can
ballot.
get in on
They
that.
are
Yeah.
good.
Well, and I hate to be this way, but Arizona State, remember how I was talking about bad Big 12 teams at the
Yeah.
bottom? Yeah.
They have a few names that they could pick up at least, as long as they don't blow those games. But let's go to the 11 line here. Tytel, two teams here, and I got to ask you about it because I know it's one of your favorite teams. There's an Ivy League team, Princeton, that snuck in above the first four, along with Wisconsin and the Badgers.
All the teams that beat Arizona in the tournament, thank you for getting them far, far away. As everyone's aware, Princeton has had good success against former Pac-12 teams recently, so Bruins beware.
Also, is that the, did not Princeton under the Pete Carril days beat UCLA in the NCAA tournament?
When they
Defending
were defending
champions.
national champions, I
Well,
believe, in the
yes.
mid-90s, in fact.
The
Good
backdoor cut.
call, Chad.
Yep.
Pete Carril.
And then Florida, Wisconsin seems like a have we seen that in like a championship game? Was that one of the Florida title games back in the day, or did they beat UCLA? I forget.
It was UCLA and then Ohio State in their
Okay, good
back
cat,
to back
partial credit.
titles. They lost to Michigan State and won.
And yeah, if you like styles of play, I think Wisconsin versus North Carolina would be it's not as bad as back in the day, but another one of those like Carolina up and down the court in Wisconsin, slow, slow, slow. That seems like a recipe for disaster in terms of styles colliding.
Stalica, the first two first four teams are the teams that these are the highest ranked of the first four teams. Ole Miss's opponent there, Maryland and San Diego State, another Mountain West team. But think for Joey's gonna be happy. It's only our second Mountain West team, as opposed to, well, we had seven in the tournament last year, whatever it was.
I was about to say earlier, until the first four, did you notice which Mountain West team we had not called yet? But to me, I
Or San
think
Diego State.
the major surprise was seeing a team like Maryland at least get above the first
Oh, there is
four.
San Diego. I'm sorry.
But this was just because we had at least one of the polls get the Terrapins in there, whereas I think it was Princeton was about the cutoff point where they were in both polls, so to speak.
Yeah, and Maryland is a team that when we did our previous show, I said that this might be a team that sneaks up on people, and all of you laughed at me, so I'm not going to try to sell that one again.
Yeah,
but I
I'm
don't know
not
if
a
they
fan of
really
Maryland.
belong there or
No, they
not.
don't.
Well, Chad, it just goes to
Yep.
the fact that the bubble is really weak this year.
As opposed to past years.
Also, keep in mind we have 37 at-larges this year versus 36. So, unfortunately, someone else is getting in that probably shouldn't.
Dorman, our last two teams, Kentucky's opponent, Michigan or Dayton? I'll have to go to Mike on this also, but let me ask you first.
Wow, I like that. It's a good game. Michigan got a lot of big size down low. Dusty May comes over from Florida Atlantic. That would be a good game. Not only is Michigan big, but their wings and guards are athletic, fast. I think Michigan could have a really nice year. We'll go to Mike on that. But I expect Dusty to do good things in Ann Arbor. And I'm a big fan of the Flyer program. I love Dayton. I love A-10 basketball.
Ooh,
I think
going Dayton in that one.
Dayton's in for a good year. Mike?
Although, real quick, but that's like I assume we're gonna see another A-10 team on the 12 line, and
Right.
the way the polls worked out, that because we had that, this is the first A-10 team, but I think somebody else was actually
Well,
picked
keep in mind, you can't
preseason.
have another A-10 team in the first four without there being another auto bid.
Right, exactly.
And keep
Okay,
in
but
mind, there is another notable conference we will get to that we have not even called yet that is going to be below the first four this year.
yep. But Mike, how about Michigan this year?
Yeah, I agree with what David said. They do have to fix their defense. They struggled in an exhibition game against Toledo, giving up 92 points. But offensively, I think they're deep and talented. This is just a total reversal from a year ago. When you only win eight games the year before, it's hard not to improve. I would say they're going to be among the most improved this year. But then it's not going to be that hard. They do have the combination, the big guys. One is an outside guy. One's an inside guy. They just got to work on the defense. They have time. That's interesting. Playing Dayton in Dayton,
Yeah,
basically
that
a
would
road
suck
game.
for them. That is perfectly legal. In fact, it's
Yep.
happened before.
It's happened. Yeah.
Hey, but after what happened the last couple of years, if Michigan even makes it to the first four, I'll be very happy. I mean, it's all about perspective.
Griggs, here, I'm going to show you the 12 line real quick. These are a lot of auto bids, but these are teams that could be above the bubble also, I think. VCU, that's your auto bid winner out of the
Yeah,
A-10.
I like that VCU
They have
team.
very good McNeese team. We got
Very good.
UAB. UAB, the only American team we've seen so far, and then throw it in High Point, an interesting pick there at the on the 12 line.
Yeah, no Memphis, which is interesting because, again, this is not Stalica's or Hoops HD's projections. This is a, all of the consensus preseason prognostication. We didn't see Memphis. UAB, a very light schedule. We talked about that during the American preview. A small margin for error. So they could be one of those teams that wins similar to Indiana State a year ago, 28, 29 games, and it still ends up not being enough if one of those wins isn't that last conference tournament game, but still a good team. But I really like out of all these teams, this McNeese State team. We talked about them extensively on Under the Radar. Their roster is as good or probably better than it was a year ago. It's certainly deeper. The one thing about them, I think if they were to play Indiana in a straight up game, they'd blast them. I think McNeese State is better than Indiana. That says a lot about what I think about both McNeese State and Indiana, I suppose. But will they have the opportunity? Is the season laid out for them to get inside the bubble, or is the Southland just absolutely too weak for it to happen?
They're going to have to do something in the non-conference because Southland is pretty weak. And if they need an auto bid, it's like if they need an at-large bid, it's because they suffered a horrible loss in the Southland Conference Tournament.
Yeah.
I should
Which
also Go ahead.
This is a team that has a lot of trouble scheduling, by the way. We've talked about that multiple times. I want to say they called over 100 schools last year and still couldn't get their schedule completed.
Okay. Real quick here, before we go to the last four seed lines, we don't actually have a list of top teams out. There wasn't one that we actually had from the bracket, but I did list Memphis there. They were a team that did not make the field that was mentioned. I just want to run through real quick. Anyone else have any other teams that they think maybe should have been in this field from, especially from the power conferences that we did not see? And Mike, you've got somebody I know
Maybe
already.
I'm missing something. Are there any teams from the AAC?
The American, we have
UAB.
UAB got in
Oh,
there, but
UAB. Okay.
yep. But that
That's
Memphis was
12.
the one we just mentioned did not make it. Joby, is there anyone else that you think really is just glaringly omitted from this? And that's okay if it didn't.
No, I the
No Villanova. You're right.
I
Oh,
Villanova
Villanova.
jumps Villanova, Miami to a lesser extent, but yeah, those would be the two that jump out. But it they're yeah, it's not like, oh, you're eliminating a team wearing white. You know, but I think you could see more, and it's in particular because these Big 12 and SEC teams, not all of them are going to make it, just because of what we've already discussed. I think that opens the door to Big East and ACC schools in particular, because there are a lot of very solid ACC and Big East schools that. All of a sudden, we're going to wake up and go, oh, wow, they're 15-3, you know, and with a good out-of-conference record. And I think someone will pop, whether it's a Miami, whether, you know, in that
Yeah.
regard. You know, some people are picking on the Wake Forest that's already there. But, you know, who's to say, you know, who's to say there aren't other teams that could just completely surprise from either conference, I might add. Those are the two that I point to in particular.
Titel, yeah, I think you have another one also.
I had missed St. Mary's. I'm glad they did make it for the
Yes.
Saint on Saint battle. Joby's right. The ACC does have a ton of schools. I don't know that any are going to pop, although he seems pretty confident and he usually is great at this thing. I don't think Pitt made the field yet,
They
or
did
maybe
not.
won't, but like they have talent. I like Capel. So I think they're certainly in the mix.
Real quick, one more person. Dorman, anybody else you think that we're missing here? And that's fine if there isn't. It's tough. It is
Actually,
tough
no,
this time of year.
I thought I was going to have to go to the bat for BYU and Ole Miss, but Stalica got them both, and I agree with it.
The only thing I see is that we clearly do not have enough Mountain West in this tournament.
Yeah, I think all 11 get in this year. I said that during the podcast. I don't
At
know if you
least
saw it.
seven.
Yeah.
Mountain West.
Yes. Are we
There we
doing
go.
dark horses? Because, well,
None
Miami, yeah, was a team. Well,
of
nobody would have picked Butler to get in, but I like this team a lot. I can't believe they're being as unappreciated as they are. I don't know. I mean, I'm not predicting they'll get in, but like it wouldn't shock me if they did. And I think that they're potentially a fringe bubble team. I they're just not getting any respect.
right,
I'll
let's
give
go
you
through.
one, Chad.
Okay.
Northwestern. Northwestern has a chance to be solid, very solid.
And Northwestern. Okay. Let's go ahead and go through the rest of this teams now. First of all, we did do record our Under the Radar preseason podcast last night. A lot more discussion about these conferences. I'm going a little bit quicker on these last four seed lines, but we'll take a few seconds on each of them. Beginning with the 13 line, we've got Vermont, Samford, Bradley. There's our Missouri Valley team and a pretty good UC Irvine team out of the Big West.
Yeah, UC Irvine just tapped against Vanguard, and they fell behind. Upset alert! It is 4-2 Vanguard at the time we were recording.
Yeah, and in the 14 line here, we've got Purdue Fort Wayne team, Louisiana Tech out of Conference USA, Colgate, who is in every single year, and Quinnipiac, we are Metro Atlantic champion. Any thoughts, Dorman? You were with us last night. Any thoughts on these four?
Four dangerous, really good teams. I like them all. I could see them even some of those teams being a seed line better based on the regular season, how some of the other conferences play out. But those are some good basketball teams there.
The
Like that
fifth
Quinnipiac team, yeah.
down the 15 line, we have Towson, Ohio out of the MAC, Lipscomb, and Montana, Big Sky team. I don't know, Griggs, if there's anybody has anything to say on any of these four teams so
I
far.
think Towson and Ohio in particular seem, well, Ohio in particular seems
Maybe
way
a C
low.
line higher, yeah, a couple C
Yeah,
lines higher.
I like them a lot more than that and some of the teams that are ahead of them. But again, we're all at zero right now, so.
And Salika, here's the last six teams you put in because we'll have two first four games in here as well. Kansas gets Arkansas State, which I think Arkansas State is a better team than that. Alabama will get the winner of a Little Rock Howard game. UConn would get a potential in-state rivalry against CCSU or Kansas City, and Houston versus Grambling.
I think initially I was thinking of possibly having Kansas City facing off against Kansas, but when I initially did the bracket, I was using the KenPom numbers. But when I was doing it via KenPom, I also had Samford as a potential 15 seed, which I'm like, wait a minute, that is way too low for how this team is going to be projected. So what I actually did, I used Joby's numbers, the JMG for the preseason, and they had a more palatable 13 rating right there.
Okay,
As
so that's how that is how you did, by the way, because none of these teams got votes in the top 25 polls on these last four lines. That's how you rate these. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
yeah, I would have said that Little Rock, I think, also got a preseason vote in the top 25, but notice I did not put them any higher because I think someone made a mistake when they were filling in their ballots.
That actually, the thought of, they got three votes. Did somebody intend to vote Arkansas? 20 or who in the L's? It's a if you've never seen how the AP and coaches polls work, it is on a computer and it is a pull down menu of all like 360 teams, and it has been known to happen before where they click on the wrong team.
Little
So,
Rock had one vote, so I think they
yeah.
meant to say Arkansas
Yeah.
instead.
Okay,
Yeah,
I
but
got a
they're in
quick.
there as Little
Arkansas
Rock. They're
makes
not in there
complete
as Arkansas
sense as a
Little Rock. So
25 rank,
I got a quick question, Stalika. Was Dayton the last team in, the team that gets in because there is no Pac-12 auto bid?
That is correct.
Okay.
And initially, I'll tell you something else. I think I was going to have Miami initially there, but when I noticed that VCU was actually the preseason pick to win the A-10, I slid Miami down and Dayton up based on where they were in the AP and coaches polls.
Okay, so that's how we got Dayton in there and left Miami out.
Because I think my actual, the first four based on that would have been Miami, Virginia, Memphis, and Providence,
Well,
that we
there
did
we
not
have it.
mention among top teams out.
Oh, we didn't, I'll put Providence on that list there as well. Okay, but there
Said
we have
another
it.
team.
Okay.
He said another team.
Which other team?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay.
No.
I apologize. I didn't.
San
Oh,
Jose
Joby, who's
State.
the new coach at Virginia now?
Sanchez.
Okay, the assistant.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
Ron
right.
Sanchez. He was at
Well,
Charlotte. Did really well. San Jose State, another team. You got to put them on there.
okay. There we have our bracket. You can also check it out now down below us on the podcast here if you want to take a look at it. But this is our preseason media bracket. I only thing I'll guarantee you is that the actual tournament bracket will not look like this at all. Other than that, we've got a great season ahead. But I'm going to go ahead and pull the screen share down. And I want to do at this point is run through each of you with a couple questions. Number one, if you have any other final thoughts at all about anything with that we did tonight or anything about the season. And number two, I want to throw this out there to each of you is who do you think is going to be in the Final Four this year? Who do you think the four best teams of the nation are going to be? And who do you think is going to win it all and cut down the nets on April? I believe it's the 8th this year or the
Yeah.
9th. And Stalika, why don't I start with you?
I'll probably say we're going to get a couple teams out of the Big 12 for sure that are going to end up making the Final Four. I would say Kansas by default. I'll say Houston probably finds a way to get in there. I think UConn, you're also going to have to get in there some way by hook or by crook. And then you look at the SEC, I would say Alabama's probably going to be cracking the Final Four in there. But if we're talking about who's going to cut down the nets, I do not see UConn getting the three-peat because that's going to be a little bit of a loaded field in there. But if I'm going to go for a national champion, I probably will say Roll Tide.
Roll Tide to win it all. All right, Dorman, what about you?
I am going. My final four looks like Duke. I'm high on Iowa State. I like the Cyclones this year. Houston. And my last spot is I'm torn between Auburn and Arizona. I'll go with Arizona with my heart. Duke, Iowa State, Houston, and Arizona. I think Duke cuts down the nets.
You're going with Duke to win it all. All right, we've got one Bama, one Duke so far. Let's keep it rolling here. Joby.
All right, I feel good about three of them. The two Big 12 teams have been mentioned, Kansas and Houston. I think Duke could make a run of the Final Four. That won't be where it ends. And then there's going to be, and I'm trying to pick out the team that will be a surprise, or at least a modest surprise. And I don't like any of the teams I was looking at. You know, I was thinking A&M, which you've heard me praise, et cetera. You know, thinking a team like Iowa State. And at the end of the day, I think I'm just going to – I don't like Alabama as a team going through the tournament, nor Tennessee. So I think I'm going to go with Dorman and Tytel and make them really happy and say Arizona and three Big 12 teams in the Final Four.
So you got Duke, Arizona. Who are the other two teams?
Duke, Houston, Kansas, and Arizona. For the national title – as long as Hunter Dickinson is fully healthy for the season, I am going to be boring and go with Kansas. I love the inside-out game. The transfer in from South Dakota State's wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this team's good. Like they're like very, very good. As in, like 2 to 3 losses. That's it this season. Maybe good, and they play in the Big 12.
All right, Mike. How about you?
I agree. I don't see UConn three-peating. I just think the odds are too great against them, and you know, there's just too many good teams out there. I do like Duke to make it to the Final Four. Houston, who else? Let's see. Let me look. Alabama. And I'm trying to figure out the four team. It won't be anybody from the Big Ten. So I did say Alabama, Houston, Duke. I say Kansas if they're healthy. They're not healthy now, but they're healthy come March. Why not Kansas? And I need to pick who I think will win it all. I will go with Duke. I think, you know, they've got a bevy of talent. You know, it's about time for John Shire to step up and make a long run here.
That's the second Duke pick. They're leading right now. We've got a couple people left. Tytel, you're up next.
So one thing I learned tonight is that the SEC and Big 12 are going to have a lot of teams going very far in this tournament. Therefore, I'm going to pick two teams from each school to make the Final Four. My two SEC picks, I think I'll stick with the Iron Bowl of Auburn and Alabama, but would not at all be surprised if Tennessee pulls off some magic under the legendary Rick Barnes. As far as Big 12, there's like 7 different schools we could pick from. After seeing my boys not get it done in person last year against Clemson, I don't think I will be picking Arizona. I think I'll go with Houston because they are legit. And I think that even though everybody's going to go with Kansas, which if Dickinson is healthy is a very smart pick, I'm going to go with Iowa State. They really impressed me last year winning the Big 12 tourney, which I think was the hardest tourney. And then for the title game, I think I'm actually going to go with Auburn, which kind of doesn't make any sense because I could easily see them like losing the first round because they have a history, but they play Houston on November 9th. They play Iowa State on November 25th. They play Alabama on February 15th and March 8th. And I think that they'll be battle tested just with the SEC schedule alone, much less that ridiculous non-conference schedule, which also includes at Duke on December 4th. And then I love Broom in the middle. And I think Pearl can coach in March. And I think they're just going to do their revenge tour. And, I think War Eagle is going to get it done.
Yeah. You got Auburn winning it all. Real quick, I actually like Auburn in the Final Four myself. I do have them there. My other three are Houston, Duke. I'm surprised nobody's mentioned them yet. I got the Zags as my fourth Final Four team. My team to win it all, I'm going with Houston, though, to cut down the nets. Griggs, how about you?
Well, I mean, I thought I was going to get all my teams in that haven't been mentioned until you and Tytel. I do have Auburn in the Final Four. I also have Gonzaga. Houston, I had mentioned earlier in the show that I thought they could win it all. So obviously, I think they're going to the Final Four, and they're my pick to win it all. And my fourth pick, again, there's always someone that's sort of an outsider, a bit of a surprise. Just for the sake of hilarity, I'm going with Arkansas. I think they get in as a 6 or a 7 seed and go all the way to the Final Four just because, of course, they will. That's just how I call
Okay. Well, we had two Houstons and two Dukes, so those were the two, at least as far as winning it all goes. But on that note, let's go back up to the. Oh, wait, we got something going on the bottom of the screen there.
What?
With Stalika or Darth Vader or something going on. But I guess it's
Jason.
Happy Halloween to everybody, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, Darth.
Looks like he's got a lightsaber there. He's
Luke, I am your father. That's good, John.
I do want to take this chance to thank everybody for joining us for all these preseason podcasts. You can find links to all of our preseason content up there on the season preview tab. Also, let you all know the in-season tournament tab is up and running as well. Our next show we're going to do sometime next week is going to be a preview of all those great in-season bracketed tournaments. But on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, John Tytel, Mike Chodd, David Dorman, Joby Fortson, and Jason Voorhees, a.k.a. Darth Vader, a.k.a. John Stalika, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again once games get underway.